Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Monday and happy summer. Summer officially kicking in on the calendar yesterday. It's June 21st, 2021. Great to be back with you. A belated happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Hope it was a great weekend and a great day for you. Thank you for saying yes to fatherhood, whether you have children of your own or if you're a spiritual dad. We so appreciate your leadership. Coming up today on the program, we are going to be checking in with one of our own, a very fine writer and reporter, Peter Jesser Smith with the Register, did a very nice summary of the lay ministries and the statement from the Holy Father and the efforts to really have lay people get more involved in the actual liturgy of the church. What does it mean? What did the Pope say? What is it going to look like when it comes down to the practical everyday activities at the parish? And now this article was posted, I believe, earlier this month on June 7th, but we'll have a link to it on our archive section at Catholic Connection on AveMariaRadio.net. So Peter joins us, and then if we have time, at 39 minutes past the hour, I do want to just kind of review what the Holy Father said in his Angelus message yesterday in light of what is going on in our world and in our church. There's so much discontent and so much angst, and just so many people are upset about so many things. There's a lot coming out on Facebook and emails, and I'm just feeling this growing, how do I want to say? Well, there's this deep divide, and it's very concerning. And I've had two people, and this is one of the reasons why I'm saying this. So usually when there's one or two people saying this, there's usually a lot more behind it, we found. Two people saying they're leaving the church. They're done because of bad leadership. So I just kind of want to address that in light of what the Holy Father said in his beautiful Angelus message. We'll have a story on it from the Vatican. But perfect homily, I mean, perfect gospel yesterday in terms of the rockiness and the waves and when we feel frustrated and lonely and when things are out of control, whether in our own lives or we see things in the world that just seem so topsy-turvy. What do we do? Do we run away or do we cling to Jesus, especially in the Eucharist? We'll explore that at about 39 minutes past the hour. So that is our program for today. I do want to let you know about the weather. We had some wild, wacky weather moving through the Midwest, including Michigan and also the Chicago area. But another big problem is developing, and this is on the East Coast with Claudette getting back there as a tropical storm. Claudette is expected to slowly strengthen over the Carolinas as it approaches the Mid-Atlantic coast. From the west, tropical storm conditions expected to develop along the coastal regions of the Carolinas before the storm moves off into the Atlantic Ocean. Severe storms are possible across the northeast portion of the country today, and out west, record-breaking heat is expected, especially in the Pacific part of the northwest area of the country. So keep that in mind. Much to discuss in the news, a busy news morning, never a dull moment. So let's get to the news right now. Again, it is Monday, June 21st. Let's see what's happening in and around the world. You'll find more about this story and many of the stories we talk about today on CatholicNewsAgency.com. 60 Catholic Democrats in Congress signing a measure accusing the bishops of, quote-unquote, weaponizing the Eucharist after the bishops voted in favor of drafting a document on the Eucharist. The lawmakers contending in their so-called statement of principles they seek church guidance in areas other than abortion rights, and said, in recognizing the church's role in providing moral leadership, we acknowledge and accept the tension that comes with being in disagreement with the church in some areas. The Vatican is keeping an eye on a meeting of the UN's Human Rights Council that's scheduled to start today. The Catholic News Agency reporting the council expected to issue a statement meant to force the Pope and the church to surrender to abortion and gender ideology. Catholic News Agency reporting the statement will say the Vatican must take all necessary steps to prevent abuse. Catholic church leaders say it's merely an attempt to undermine doctrine by using the sex abuse scandals. We'll talk about this in a little bit more detail coming up later on Catholic Connection. In his Angelus message yesterday, the Holy Father offering a reminder that the Lord wants us to seek his presence in the trials and storms of life. As Thaddeus Jones from Vatican News reports, the Holy Father reminding us to continually call out to God in good times and in bad.
Pope Francis focused his reflections on the Sunday Gospel episode, recounting when Jesus calmed the high winds and waves threatening the boat crossing with his disciples. The alarmed disciples awakened Jesus, who was asleep in the stern, to ask him to help them. The Pope likened the disciples' experience of fear and bewilderment to the trials of our own lives, when we too cry out to the Lord, asking why he seems to be silent and not doing anything. Sometimes we feel we might be sinking when dealing with unemployment or health problems, or at the mercy of unrelenting waves of anxiety, with no safe harbor in sight, the Pope observed. At times we risk losing sight of the most important thing, that Jesus is there and he shares with his own all that is happening, even if he's sleeping or seems out of sight. This is something that surprises us but also tests our faith. The Pope said the Lord is always there and waits for us to engage him, to invoke him, to put him at the center of what we're experiencing. And we must not only believe in God, but be present to him and even raise our voice with him, cry out to him.
10 people, including 9 children, mostly from a Christian family residential home for the needy, are dead after a tropical depression Claudette caused a multi-car wreck over the weekend in Alabama. Michael Smith, the CEO of Alabama Sheriff's Youth Ranches, including Tallapoosa County Girls Ranch, where most of the victims lived, said, "We need all the prayers and support we can possibly get." The tragedy happening in a rural area about 35 miles southwest of Montgomery. Real Town High School also calling for prayers as a school posted on social media. The Girls Ranch program is part of the Real Town High family. Meanwhile, as Mark Mayfield tells us, North Carolina is bracing for possible tornadoes after Tropical Storm Claudette, as you heard, took several lives in Alabama.
10 of those happened in a freeway crash. 8 children were in a van headed home from a beach vacation. They collided with an SUV that had a father and a baby inside. A woman died in a separate crash. A man and a 3-year-old were also killed when a tree fell on their house. The storm was downgraded to a tropical depression but regained tropical storm strength overnight.
People in a Chicago suburb are facing a day of cleanup after a tornado did a lot of damage there Sunday night. The National Weather Service saying a confirmed large and extremely dangerous tornado touched down near the suburb of Woodridge. The Weather Service says debris was scattered across Interstate 355 and power lines and buildings damaged in the suburb a half hour southwest of the Windy City. Now, tens of thousands lost power last night. Meanwhile, about 25 miles from Woodridge, there was flooding outside a baggage claim area at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport, and flight delays were also reported. Wildfires, meanwhile, still burning out west. A Telegraph fire continues to rage about 80 miles outside of Phoenix, Arizona. It has scorched over 180,000 acres, and as of last night, it was 67% contained. Meanwhile, the Bear Fire outside of Provo, Utah, has made its way through over 12,000 acres. Not far from there, the Banyan Creek Fire, scorching over 8,000 acres. Evacuation orders underway in Oregon, meanwhile, as the S-503 fire southeast of Mount Hood continues to burn. It's already made its way through over 4,300 acres. Meanwhile, the Utah Fire Authority says most wildfires in the state are caused by some type of human action.
Pretty much the scope of natural fires is almost entirely limited to lightning strikes.
UFA spokesman Matthew McFarland saying campfires, fireworks, and target shooting are among the most often cited causes for wildfires in Utah. But he says car crashes, trailers dragging chains, or even the spark from an outdoor grill can lead to a human-caused fire. McFarland saying criminal charges are unlikely when something happens by accident, but those found responsible for starting a fire can be held liable for any property damage that occurs. Utah Senator Mitt Romney and Arizona Senator Mark Kelly, meanwhile, are proposing a bill that would establish a National Wildfire Commission. Romney says a commission would research national fire policies and recommend changes and new firefighting strategies to prevent future wildfires from becoming catastrophic. In other news, the security advisor to former President Donald Trump says Russia knows what boundaries not to cross when it comes to interfering with U.S. systems.
We've made those red lines clear in the past to Russia on a number of fronts, not just in cyber, but also in the military realm. And there have been some red lines that when the Russians have crossed them, we have responded.
On CBS's Face the Nation, Fiona Hill, who also advised President Biden before his meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin, says a problem is making sure the consequences for cyber attacks have an impact. She noted that Russia has repeatedly tested boundaries and continues to do so. Hill says one possibility to combat the threat Russia poses would be to come up with a cyber truce agreement similar to the nuclear arms treaty between the two countries. A South Carolina senator says states should be in charge of how they run their elections.
The states are in charge of voting in America, so I don't like the idea of taking the power to redistrict away from state legislators.
On Fox News Sunday, Republican Lindsey Graham says while he likes Joe Manchin and appreciates his proposal, he noted more people voted in the last presidential election than any previous election. Graham calling the original proposal the biggest power grab, he said, in the history of the country, and claims Democrats are trying to fix a problem that GOP lawmakers have a completely different view of. An Ohio senator says the bipartisan working group coming up with an infrastructure compromise is looking to build support for it from the middle out.
We don't get good marks on our infrastructure in this country, and we're losing out to other countries in terms of our competitiveness, so it's important to do it.
On NBC's Meet the Press, Republican Rob Portman adding that crafting a package among the bipartisan group and building support on both sides of the aisle is the best way to ensure the package passes. Portman noting that infrastructure is seen as a long-term investment in the country and many of the projects that would come out of the legislation will benefit the U.S. for decades to come. Rory O'Neill tells us some fans will actually be allowed in the stands when the Olympic Games are held next month in Tokyo.
Some local fans will be allowed to attend competitions when the Summer Olympics get underway next month in Tokyo. The organizing committee and the IOC set a limit of 50% capacity, or up to 10,000 fans inside Olympic venues, all limited because of COVID. Just last week, Japan's top medical advisor recommended no fans be allowed. Fans in the stands must wear masks, and they won't be able to cheer during those competitions.
The border with Canada remains closed, except for essential travel, until July 21st at the earliest. Derek Cookson is waiting for the opportunity to head back home.
I'd like to see my dad. You know, I know that's, I'd like to hug my mom. You know, I'd like to just see my family and be able to visit with them.
The Arrive Canada app, keeping a record of people's COVID-19 vaccination status, and is likely to be used to allow the first to cross over the borders. COVID-19 vaccines are in short supply in Canada, and the Prime Minister there says at least 75% of Canadians need to at least their first have their first dose before the border is open up again. That number currently stands at only 66%. This is happening with other police departments around the country, but one example, the Michigan State Police, they're once again cracking down on speeders after not writing as many tickets during the COVID-19 pandemic. Sergeant Matt Rogers of the Grand Rapids Post in Western Michigan says speeding has become a real problem over the past year and a half, as they have limited their stops to avoid possible COVID-19 spread.
Now that we kind of have somewhat of a grasp on this whole COVID thing, now it's back to we're trying to gain the ground that we've lost in that year and a half.
Troopers are stepping up patrols statewide through June 27th, along with other local police agencies. Rogers saying stats show speed has been an issue in many deadly crashes as of late. And finally, in our news segment at almost 14 minutes past the hour on June 21st, Prime Day 2021. It's here, and Amazon spokesperson Kate Scarpa says a company has been preparing.
We had more than a million deals last year for Prime Day, and we have over 2 million this year. So we really worked hard over the last several months to make sure that we could give our Prime members even more deals to take advantage of this year.
The e-commerce giant touting markdowns on Amazon devices, electronics, fashion, cookware, and much more as part of the shopping extravaganza. Amazon saying teachers and students can also get a head start on school supplies with the launch of its back-to-school storefront. It's a Monday morning. Hope you're doing well. And this second day, well, actually the first full day of summer. Summer moved in on the calendar yesterday, June 20th. Do have some wacky and some wild weather, so be careful out there, especially if you're out east with Claudette being a tropical storm again, causing some problems along the Carolinas and also in the Northeast before moving out to the Atlantic. On the Northwest coast, we're going to have extreme heat, so be careful there as well. Up next, lay ministries, acolyte lectors, and catechists. Oh my, a great article from National Catholic Register's Peter Jesser Smith, and what this means, the new directions from the Pope, practically in our parishes across the country. We'll take a look at that up next on a Monday.
Hello, this is Steve Ray from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Our Wisconsin pilgrimage is already sold out, but our St. Augustine trip was such a success that we're starting another one in November 1st through the 4th, the beginning of the Catholic history of our country, the first parish and the first parish mass. Great place. Also, three trips to the Holy Land, a St. Paul cruise, and Lourdes and Fatima.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net. Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful Monday morning. Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network. As a reminder, this program co-produced by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. Check us both out online. Great resources on the websites, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. And within that, you will find the wonderful work of many people at the National Catholic Register, including our guest this morning, a return guest, Peter Jesser Smith. Peter, great article on what's happening and the directives from the Pope regarding. I love the headlines. I wanted to play the Lions and Tigers and Bears, Oh My, from The Wizard of Oz when I read it. Lay ministries, acolytes, lectors, and catechists, Oh My. So let's go back and review what the Holy Father said and did in terms of these lay ministries. Thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Well, absolutely, and thanks for having me on the show again, Teresa. Appreciate
sure.
it. Sure. So over the past 6 months, you know, Pope Francis has made two major changes in canon law to basically create stable ministries of laymen and laywomen to the ministries of acolyte, lector, and catechist in Catholic parishes. And a lay ministry is something that the bishop is responsible for instituting. So there's a particular rite associated with this. And, you know, In introducing these changes, Pope Francis has made very clear that he sees this as really achieving the new evangelization with missionary discipleship, and he also sees it as connected to, the true work of the Second Vatican Council in achieving the renewal of renewal of the Church with lay involvement in the work of evangelization. You know, evangelization is, that's a common responsibility of all the baptized, not just priests and religious. And I think these changes help really reinforce it. There's a line which I quoted in the article, which I thought was really summed it up, where he said, the Council Fathers repeatedly emphasized the great need for the lay faithful to be engaged directly in the various ways their charisms can be expressed in the plantatio ecclesiae, plantations of the church, or the working fields of the church, and the development of the Christian community. So we have two motu proprios, or two of these decrees, Antiquum Ministerium, which establishes lay ministry of catechist, and then Spiritus Domini, which changes canon law to state that women and not just men can be instituted to the lay ministries of acolyte and lector. I think for most of us here, most of Catholics listening are probably asking themselves, what the heck are these things? I've never seen them in my parish, which is really true. And there's probably a number of reasons that go into it. But basically what it's designed to do is establish in parishes that there are lay people with certain responsibilities or co-responsibility for the work of evangelization, for, you know, the ministry of the parish that work together with the priest and the deacon, and have a direct relationship to the bishop. So it's more than just having a volunteer, you know, enter and fill a role, or, you know, step in and step out. It's to really say, this is so important that it really requires somebody to say, I'm going to step in, and this is going to be part of my vocation, my mission in the church. It's something that comes from the bishop, so it's not just me on my own initiative, but it's my bishop saying, you know, yes, you know, you are a person of a good Christian character, good Christian life, and it's important, you know, you're somebody whom, you know, I've seen formed in this particular work. So it does, or it should require, some kind of formation.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has some certain practical effects. So it means that, so for acolyte, it's not just simply a liturgical thing of serving, although, you know, serving at the altar, which is, it's definitely part of it. But it's also to say, you know, part of my responsibility as an acolyte is to, you know, when designated by the priest, to go and bring out Holy Communion to those who cannot come to, you know, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And there's also the, and for the role of lector, you know, it's simply not simply about, well, I'm going to volunteer and check my name off to read the Word of God on Sunday. But, this is part of my responsibility. But then there's also creative opportunities for pastors to say, if I have these lectors who are formed and instituted by the bishop, can they lead Bible studies? You know, I mean, how can they in their work facilitate more the cultivation of the Word of God in the people of my parish?
Mm-hmm.
And then similar then with catechist, you know, if we think about it a lot of times as, oh, this is a kind of a role that's hired to, you know, teach people the faith. No, this is much deeper than that. It's really saying this is a lay vocation. It's a lay responsibility to really form people in the truths of the faith, you know, develop the kerygma, our reception of the gospel, and to teach people how to, you know, fully live that out in their life in Jesus Christ. So it's really making very powerful statements about lay co-responsibility in the parish that simply is not a matter of volunteers, but is really mission, and it's designed to send people forth out on that mission.
Yeah, so. I think it's very helpful because it makes these roles make us look at them differently and take them even more seriously. Question though that I have is that, for example, in my parish and other parishes where I've and my husband has served as a deacon now, he's been deacon for almost 10 years. The role of lector, the role of catechist has been taken very seriously, and you couldn't just enter into it, or an acolyte. You couldn't just say, okay, I want to volunteer. You had to go through a lot of formal training. And there were people that were, you know, they realized, well, that this isn't my calling, you know, my gifts don't apply here. So then what's different? I think many people are wondering, is this because it's coming directly from the Pope? Because I think on a parish level, people are familiar with different lectors and the fact that you can't just sign up and say, oh, I'm going to read, you know, the Word of God this weekend.
Yeah, it's the whole aspect of, in a certain sense, a lot of this stuff is happening practically in parishes.
Right.
But what is happening with the Pope in making this change is to really say to the bishops, you really need to be intentional and get your parishes to think and act about this intentionally, that by instituting somebody for a role. I mean, if you're instituted as an acolyte or a lector or, you know, or a catechist, I mean, that's really a permanent thing. I mean, if I travel through different dioceses, you know, I'm not suddenly not an acolyte. I'm still an acolyte.
Right.
You know, it's really a designation from the church. and it's a relationship with your bishop that creates more sense of permanence and responsibility there that just doesn't end, you know, just doesn't cease if you move to a different parish or something like that. Now, it doesn't mean you can just say, walk in and say, hey, I'm an instituted acolyte, you know, I'm going to serve today. But it does say that, no, you have been formed in that role and that responsibility, and it's not just for the sake of the parish, but also for the sake of your own self. It does, you know, one of the people that I interviewed, you know, Drew Hall, was explaining this. He said, I've come to a richer appreciation of my own vocation here.
Yeah. Peter, hold that thought. We have to take a break. We'll have more on the other side. Lay ministries, acolytes, lectors, and catechists, oh my. Peter Jesser Smith, excellent article. Pope Francis's recent changes in canon law to lay ministries. It's in the National Catholic Register. We'll post a link on our archive section later on in the day after the show. We'll be right back. More with Peter coming up.
Catholic law is not cynical about human government, but it does understand its limitations. Let me just quote from the Catechism. Human society can be neither well-ordered nor prosperous unless it has some people invested with legitimate authority to preserve its institutions and to devote themselves as far as is necessary to work and care for the good of all. Every human community needs an authority to govern it. Now, we know that, of course. The family has a certain authority, business has an authority, and government has certain authorities. We are blessed in that in our moment in history, governments are composed by the consent of the governed. It means we have to look beyond the political rhetoric that's used by politicians and lobbyists to sell a bill or a referendum item. And so I would just stress time and again, don't be cynical, but be prudent. Don't be suspicious, but be inquiring.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Step away from the turmoil of the day. In A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica, you'll find lessons that touch every aspect of our relationship with God and our neighbor. These meditations and prayers will help you turn to Jesus in your everyday life. A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica from EWTN Publishing, now available at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
Chatting with Peter Jesser Smith, staff reporter for the National Catholic Register. He's covered Pope Francis and his historic visit to the U.S. back in 2015 and to Jerusalem and the Holy Land in 2014. Has reported on a number of different situations and developments, including the Syrian and Iraqi refugee crisis, including from Jordan and Lebanon, and also done a number of other excellent reports. A freelance writer reporting for Catholic media outlets for the Register, our Sunday Visitor, a graduate of the National Journalism Center. He also holds a BA in philosophy at Christendom College and does a great job of covering these issues that are so important to us. And this is a really thorough article. And what I liked about it, it reminds us, Peter, that I think the Pope is encouraging us to really take ownership and to get more involved. I think we still have to, you know, take it on upon ourselves to say, what does the Lord want me to do in my parish, in my corner of the world? Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to clarify, I am a staff writer for the National Catholic Register.
Yeah, so, I did say that. I read in the beginning. Yeah, I said that you did freelance
okay.
Before. But no, I got you. No
great.
Worries. I got you covered.
So, absolutely. I think, look, we have to get out of our... We have to realize we are in mission territory. And the reality is that we have got to stop thinking that there's going to be some kind of world where automatically the number of ordained priests is going to triple overnight and be able to do everything for us. That's not how it's working. Maybe it is, you know, the point of the matter is that if we're actually, there's a huge mission territory. There's so many fallen away Catholics. Alone, that would be plenty of mission territory for us. We need all hands on deck.
Right.
And you know, just as the church in Africa is making use of things like, you know, the lay catechist to evangelize and plant new communities, we've got to start thinking the same way here in the United States. Otherwise, we're going to end up a Catholic church of the suburbs,
mm-hmm.
and not a Catholic church that can be out in rural communities or urban centers. So if we're not going to surrender the gospel to the evangelicals and to every other Protestant group that can just set up somewhere and say, let's have church together, we Catholics need to be making use of these lay ministries to do real effective evangelization and, you know, missionary activity. The important thing about the lay ministries is it provides bishops an opportunity to form lay people in missionary discipleship as disciples of Jesus Christ, who take responsibility for the missionary work of the church and can work together to really strengthen the faith and then to plant it other places. So that's really the huge opportunity here that I think has really presented itself, because you can form people in the faith rather than just having people step up as volunteers, and you can think more intentionally about having a missionary effort instead mm-hmm. of just, you know, the same old, same old.
Well, where do you see this going in terms of any idea what the response was from the bishops and how they're going to roll this out? Because this is, I think this is a real positive, which is, should encourage all of us as lay people to take our faith and our possible roles more seriously. But how will the bishops, any idea how they'll be rolling this out after the Pope's directive?
I'm not exactly really sure. And certainly I think the bishops need to start having a more intentional conversation with their own diocese about this and how to imagine the role. I mean, very few bishops have used it. Certainly the Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter, which is Roman Catholic diocese with Anglican traditions in the United States, started by the Pope 10 years ago. But they've really made intentional use of this. And it's really helped expand the ability of the priests and pastors to do things and to evangelize their own people, to strengthen them in the faith. That conversation needs to be happening at the diocesan level. I think there might be an opportunity to do it as part of the, you know, diocesan phase of preparations for the upcoming synod on synodality or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people have looked at this as kind of, well, it's just filling a liturgical role or function. And that's not it. It's more than that. It connects whatever you're doing in the liturgy to the Christian, fully living out the Christian life, and especially the life of, you know, service and charity. There's a lot of potential when you start to think about it that way. Like one of the things I think that this will do, especially with instituting women as acolytes, is a pastor can also start to designate certain women as volunteers for certain areas that we could think of, like such as, you know, teaching natural family planning or, I think of, you know, women to women ministries, such as, you know, women who suffered domestic violence or
right.
various forms of abuse, or, you know, pro-life ministry or helping, you know, single moms and things like that. There's certain aspects of church ministry that we really need women to fulfill in an intentional way and be able to point to, you know, the women who are leading that in an intentional way, something that's also connected to their prayer. But, you know, ways in which women and the gifts that they bring to the church really excel, in which, you know, they may not be comfortable approaching directly a priest about immediately or another man. So that's one of the things that it does. You know, looking down the road, I think one of the things that this is going to do is probably a couple things. One, I hope that it eventually we get to a point where lay acolytes who are men are basically called subdeacons. I think that was kind of what Paul VI, when he, you know, created this, mm-hmm. was thinking of in Ministerio Coetum. He definitely says that Episcopal conferences can call laymen that. But I think also Pope Francis is probably also looking at this as eventually saying, you know, once the language of institution, that lay people are instituted to ministry, is more widespread in the church, I think he's probably going to go in the direction of And certain lay women who are acolytes and involved in the ministry of charity, we're going to call those deaconesses. And it's not going to be an ordination. It's going to be an institution, that this is a lay person, ultimately. For the women's ordination crowd, that will not make people happy, and they'll be mad at that. But it will be consistent with what the Eastern Orthodox churches have been doing in terms of restoring the apostolic office of the deaconess. The Coptic Orthodox, it's a consecration, kind of like how religious sisters are consecrated, but they're not ordained.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be more along the lines of what is happening, because the Pope is not going to go step beyond Eastern Orthodoxy and blow up ecumenism.
But I think also that's an important point, because some people saw this as he's opening the door to female deacons. But I think that door has been closed, and he recognizes, of course, and has reaffirmed what Paul VI and John Paul II said about the male priesthood. So he's not going that way. He's not going to go that way with the deaconesses also.
No, I think he's going to fulfill a need, and it may end up called that. But it's not going to be an ordination. But in order to get people to understand that, having lay ministries and having the right of an institution be in people's knowledge and imaginations and things like that is going to set the groundwork for it. And it's going to fulfill practical need. We need women involved in lay ministry in an intentional way. We need acolytes in the church to be leading the liturgy of the hours.
Right. Peter, we're out of time, but this is a great summary and a great discussion. Great article, too, outlining this. The article is entitled Lay Ministries, Acolytes, Lectors, and Catechists Omai, from staff writer for the Register, Peter Jesser Smith. We'll be right back on a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000. And they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted, but I want you to know I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back. It is a Monday morning. Happy summer. Yay, summertime. Get out there and enjoy it. Coming up in just a few minutes, we are going to be chatting with Gail Buckley with our scripture verse of the week. And I wanted to just take a few minutes, and this kind of picks up on what Peter Jesser Smith was talking about in terms of the importance of understanding our role in making a difference and not fixating on the issues that are out there. Not that we ignore them, but How do we really say, okay, Lord, here I am. I have come to do your will. I want to serve you. What can I do to make a difference? And, of course, this directive from the Pope is in line with that and what we're discussing. But I want to mention this in light of the Pope's beautiful Angelus address from yesterday and also the gospel and the first reading from yesterday for the Sunday Mass, the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And let me just share with you again. I know sometimes you get busy and you forget what the readings were, but the gospel for the day was all about, of course, the storm. The first reading was taken from the book of Job, and it was, of course, all about Job, you know, coming from his heart and saying, what is going on here? And the Lord telling him, well, remember, who created the ocean? Who told it to stop right here? Who told it to go right here? And who made sure that it didn't go any further? So reminding us who he is, who God is, and how he is in charge. He is still very large and very much in charge, as I like to say. And sometimes how we tend to forget that, as if he is not aware of everything that's going on in our world and what needs to be done and how he can work through us. So let me just go back to the readings, because again, I just love them. They're so good. The first reading from Job, and that is chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth as issuing out of the womb? When I made a cloud, the garment thereof, and wrapped it in a mist as in swaddling bands, I set my bounds around it and made it bars and doors. And I said, thou shalt not come and shalt not go any further and shalt not break thy swelling waves. And then we go, of course, to the gospel, which is the gospel from St. Mark. And this is the calming of the storm on the sea. And he went over to the boat, right? They get in the boat, and they go out, and this is night. And he was in the ship, and he was sleeping. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat onto the ship so that the ship was filled. And he was in the back part of the ship, sleeping upon a pillow, and they awake him and say to him, Master, do you not know what is going on, the fact that we may perish? And rising up, Jesus rebukes the wind and says to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to the apostles, why are you fearful? Have you not faith yet? And they said to one another, who is this, that both wind and sea obey him? So the Holy Father, in his message yesterday for the Angelus, talks about how often, and this is a title of the Catholic News Agency article, if you'd like to check it out further, do we fixate on our problems rather than bringing them to God? Do we cling to all the negative things in our life, in the church, in the world? And again, there's always this, I call it the eternal dance, this balance of how do we approach this? How do we not ignore the issues that need to be addressed? We just spent 15 minutes talking with Peter Jesser Smith about the need for us to get more involved in various roles in the church for the laity, right? So what do we do about this? One way is to seek what God has called us to do, that maybe we could be part of the solution and not just part of the problem in terms of not doing anything but complaining. This is not to say that we don't express our concerns, but I think we've lost that sense of balance. In his Angelus message this Sunday, Pope Francis offering a reminder that the Lord wants us to seek his presence in the trials and storms of life. How often do we remain fixated on problems rather than going to the Lord and casting out our concerns upon him? Today, let us ask for the grace of a faith that never tires of seeking the Lord, of knocking at the door of his heart. Speaking from the window of the Vatican's Apostolic Palace, a Holy Father reflecting on the gospel account of the disciples caught in a storm at sea as Jesus slept on their boat. Filled with fear, the disciples cried out, Teacher, do you not care if we perish? The Pope said, quite often we too, beaten by the trials of life, have cried out to the Lord, why do you remain silent and do nothing? Especially, he said, when it seems we are sinking, because of love or the project in which we have laid great hopes disappears, and when we are at the mercy of unrelenting waves of anxiety, and this is, I think, a lot of what's going on right now. Unrelenting waves of anxiety, people so anxious and so concerned, and many of them with good reason about what's going on in the world, but especially what's going on in the church, or when we are feeling we are drowning in problems or lost in the middle of the sea of life with no course and no harbor. The Pope urged that it is important to remember that even though Jesus was sleeping on the boat during the storm with his disciples, he was still there. The Lord is there present. In fact, he expects, so to speak, that we will engage him, invoke him, to put him at the center of what we are experiencing. His slumber causes us to wake up. Because to be disciples of Jesus, it is not enough to believe God is there, that he exists. But we must put ourselves out there with him. We must also raise our voice with him and cry out to him. Today we can ask ourselves, what are the winds that beat against my life? What are the ways that prevent my navigation and endanger my spiritual life, my family life, and my mental health as well? Let us tell all this to Jesus, the Pope said. Let us tell him everything. He wants this. He wants us to grab hold of him to find shelter from the unexpected waves of life. Now, I mentioned going into this segment that I've had at least two people mention either on Facebook or in personal emails that they're done with the Catholic Church because of the bad leadership they see. Their argument is that, well, if the bishops don't believe enough in the Eucharist, why should I believe it? Well, bottom line is that we have a lot of people who don't believe in a lot of things. It doesn't mean that institutions or things that we know are correct are wrong. For example, let's take a look at this country. How many politicians don't give a patootie about the fact that this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles? How many politicians on both sides of the political aisle are crooked, are thieves, have stolen, have done great harm to the country, and they don't seem to care at all about the military, about the law enforcement, about people who have fought with their lives for this country? They want to make it their own, in their own image, right? And completely change this country at its core. I'm not going to give up on the United States of America because many of our politicians have and want to make it something else. We know the truth of how it was brought to being, that it, you know, founded on Judeo-Christian principles with God at the heart of it. We know that what we have in the Constitution, this is a very, very, very unique country. So I'm not giving up on it because of really bad leadership. I'm not going to talk parties here, but let's face it. We've had enough, again, on both sides of the aisles that have done a lot of damage. But I'm not going to let them push me out of this country. As much as I love to travel to Italy, America is still my home. And I'm proud of how this country was founded and what this country represents according to the Constitution and all the great things that we have. So I think that is an analogy to pray about when you're thinking about the church. And many people, I understand the frustration. I understand it. It's heartbreaking when it is so clear in terms of what the church teaches in the Eucharist and how much has not been done. There's another great article that my friend Father Charles Fox from the Archdiocese of Detroit just posted on Catholic World Report, talking about the fact that so many in the church are so hungry for strong leadership. And I'm paraphrasing here, that they either give up or they cling to people and sites or thoughts or a particular way of thinking that is doing more harm and good. Jesus Christ instituted the sacraments. It has been passed on through apostolic succession. And whether we have a decent bishop or one that is we don't think is strong enough, or whether we don't have priests that we feel are strong enough, whatever the case may be with the leadership. And this is just my personal take on it, because I've prayed through this, for example, with my own spiritual director and Father John Ricardo, when my husband and I were going through some attacks within the church. And they asked me, do you believe in the Eucharist? Do you believe in all the teachings that you write about? The dignity of women and pro-life? Do you believe all that? Is it true that what the church gives us? And I said, of course it's true. And then they both encouraged us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, continue to speak up respectfully when possible, and to go through the proper channels. But at the end of the day, to remember who founded the church, Jesus Christ, on Peter, 2,000 years ago. And he promised us that the gates of hell will not prevail against her. Do not let your frustration with the many, many issues that we have in the church keep you from the sacraments. That's exactly what you-know-who wants. He wants discouragement. He wants division. He wants you to toss it aside. Cling to Jesus when the storms are there, especially when the storms are there and when the waves are breaking over. He's not asleep. He's there with us through the storms. He knows what's going on, and he wants to help. And he does, and he will. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Been a few weeks, but it's great to have Gail Buckley back with us. No fault of hers. We had a lot going on, and I was out of the country for 10 days. So, Gail, always great to have you on, and I love talking about Scripture. So what's our verse for today?
Thanks, T. Well, today we're going to be talking about a verse from Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, which says, "Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourself." You know, first of all, Paul, this is St. Paul talking, he's instructed us not to be self-centered or egotistical and advising us not to look down on others. But he's also telling us that when we take our minds off ourselves and our own problems and instead help others, we're really helping ourselves at the same time. You know, good things tend to happen when we wallowing in self-pity and dwelling on our own problems and instead think about how we can help other people. First of all, I think what happens, we begin to forget our own problems when we're helping someone else. And I know that many women like myself, when we're upset or we have a problem, we might do something stupid or extravagant, like indulgent, like eating a cup of ice cream or or going on a shopping spree. But
or in my case, eating a box of Cheez-Its. That's my weakness, Cheez-Its. I love
Cheez-Its.
Yeah,
I love Cheez-Its. I do the same thing. I just spend that on those things. But, you know, I know that doesn't settle anything, does it? It doesn't make our problem go away, and it's just a feel-good temporary thing, you know. But the Bible teaches us that actually the quickest way to get rid of our troubles is to become involved in helping someone else. And
Yep. Even
psychologists are saying that now. Imagine that. But Prophet Isaiah, he had a good thing to say. He said, a long time ago, he said, "If you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in darkness and your night become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs and strengthen your frame." So we're genuinely concerned about others when we are. Often we have our own problems, but others will come to help us. When we try to help us, when it comes to the time when we need them, then they'll come and help us. So St. Paul says in verse 20 in the same chapter, he says, "I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in my welfare." And he's talking about his friend Timothy. Now, Paul had mentored Timothy, you know, and then Timothy grew in his faith. And later, when Timothy had his ministry of his own, Paul looked at him and he said, "I don't know anyone like Timothy." You know, frequently we read in Scripture about the importance of having friends and helping others. King Solomon said, two are better than one, and if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up.
Mm.
In the Gospel of Mark, we read about how Jesus, you know, remember how he sent out his apostles in pairs to share
right.
the gospel message?
Right.
And this was no doubt done because they would need to support each other and encourage each other in their work. And Jesus knows us. He knows that we need friends to pick us up when we're down and to share our goals and our triumphs as well. We need friends to be there for us as well as, you know, we be there for them. So it's good to get friends, you know, to have our friends with us. And we also need to remember that Jesus is always there for us. First and foremost, if we don't have a friend, which I hope we all do, but he's always there for us. He never lets us down. He never abandons us. He's our best friend.
So, yes, this is what we heard in the gospel yesterday, and the beautiful, I was just mentioning the beautiful Angelus message that the Holy Father had in terms of Jesus being asleep on the boat. Sometimes we can think he's not aware of what's going on, but no, we do. And that old song, that old great Christian hymn, "We Have a Friend in Jesus," is so true. Gail, so great to have you back on, and I want to encourage everyone to consider your Bible study program, Catholic Scripture Study International, which is fantastic. Give us a website for the Bible study.
It's cssprogram.net.
All righty then.
Program singular, cssprogram.net.
cssprogram.net. Check it out. A great Bible study. Many wonderful contributors in addition to Gail's great work. Have a great Monday. Happy summer again. And looking forward to being with you tomorrow on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Don't forget all the resources and the links Andrew will put up there at AveMariaRadio.net archive section. Talk to you tomorrow. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.